Amen? To him who is pure, all things are pure. Amen. Amen. Who in the world is in charge? Have you ever asked that question? If you've ever had a problem with any government agency, you've asked that question. Who's in charge? Don't give me the ignorant person that's manning the desk at the front. I want the person that's in charge. After this I heard what seemed to be a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. For his judgments are true and just, and he has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of his servants. Once more they cried out, Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever. And the 24 elders, the 24 elders, King James coming out there, and the 4 living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who was seated on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And from the throne came a voice saying, Praise our God, for you his servants, all you his servants, you who fear him, small and great. And here it is. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, say it with me, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Can you say that with me again? Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you reign. Thank you that you're in control. Thank you that you still sit on the throne. Thank you that you are enthroned here in our lives this morning. We lift you up. We give you our mind. We give you our hearts. We give you our understanding. May the Holy Ghost inspire to our hearts what the Spirit would say to the church. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Say it with me. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. All points in history, more than any other time that we have ever lived, we are wondering more and more this morning who in the world is in charge. We have wondered for 3 years now. Who's in charge of this administration? I believe there's never been a time in history when the answer to this question is more crucial than it is today. We must know this morning who is in charge. I must know who is in charge. You must know who's in charge. Of all the Old and New Testament words that are written to inspire and to encourage us, of all the promises, here are the words in the entire book that are without equal this morning. They're words that send a thrill into heaven and a chill into hell. They are words that cause demons to tremble this morning. Hallelujah! The Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Examine 3 facts this morning. We have to hurry because I got a lot to say. First, the unique proclamation as to Jesus. Second, the universal profession as to Jesus' power. And thirdly, the ultimate praise as to Jesus' person. First, the unique proclamation as to Jesus himself. Notice how this message comes to us. After this, this phrase appears 5 times in the book of Revelation. It is the natural division of this book for study and understanding. It is the time sequence indicator for what is prophesied to take place after this. After the long night of the tribulation period, after the anguish and the suffering under the ruthless reign of the Antichrist, after the mark of the beast and the allegiance to be paid to him without which no one will buy and sell, after the seven angels have poured out their seven vials of horror and terror, of unspeakable and unimaginable deadly plagues have rained down on the masses, after the heavens have been found in convulsion, with the sun being darkened and the moon turned to blood, and the stars losing their orbits and falling to earth, after the destruction of the once mighty prosperous Babylon with its harlot system of slavery afflicting millions, after this, glory to God. God has an after this. Hallelujah. This is not all there is this morning. This appears like an unending night of terror with hope gone forever. But God has a blessed after this morning. After the night dawns the day. Can you say amen? After the weeping comes the joy. Amen. After the discouragement comes the comfort. After the defeat comes the victory this morning. After the storm comes the calm quietness of God's eternal peace. Glory be to God. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peace in God. After this, a voice. After this, not just any voice. After this, a thundering great voice. After this, from the very throne of God Almighty Himself. This voice comes from the center of God Himself. It comes from the origination of all authority. It's directed at every saint of God and every person that fears God. If you are one of His servants, if you fear Him this morning, hear me. Glory be to God. The message is for you and it's for me. Hallelujah! The Lord God Almighty reigns. This is something we need to praise God for this morning. Amen? Notice in what method this message is announced. Notice in what method this message is announced. Then I heard what seemed to be a great voice, a voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Blessed be God. I can't say how great this multitude might be. I can see on television from time to time massive agrupations of people, massive mobs of people in demonstration, making enormous noises. I have stood on the edge of Niagara Falls, almost impossible to talk to anybody standing beside you. I have stood on my porch in Skodak and listened to peals of thunder as they deafened my very ears. But here, the cannons of the universe will proclaim in the loudest form, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Blessed be His name. You see, God intends for the message to be heard above the clamor of everyday business, above the turmoil of unbelief, above the screams of revolutionaries, socialists, and communists who wish to destroy all individual rights and freedoms, above the cries of millions this morning dying of hunger and children's flow of tears of malnutrition, above the clash and conflict of differing doctrines and ideals and beliefs, above the blast of angry propaganda this morning spewing out from our media, above the roar of a world cascading towards disaster and hell. Hear me this morning. There is a course, glory be to God, of heavenly proclamation from God's very throne room. Hallelujah. It echoes through all the universe. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God Almighty reigns. Blessed be His name. Hallelujah. It's the shout of redeemed multitudes. And it's to be heard. The celestial creations echo our shout. It announces the news of all nature's beings. Hallelujah. It is a message for today. It's a message for tomorrow. And it's a message for all eternity. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Blessed be his name forever. The creation, the Creator is found in flesh fleeing for his life to Egypt. The upset neighbors of Nazareth refuse to accept his message, and his omnipotent power is rendered useless in the face of their unbelief. The opposition from religious leaders and rulers indicates that they will not accept what he is bringing, and they will not recognize him as Messiah. With all their so-called knowledge of the law and the Old Testament, they are blind to the living reality that's walking among them. The citizens of Gadara ask him to leave because he has ruined their hog business. The infuriated mob demands his death at his crucifixion because they can't believe he is the Messiah. Solicited friends lay him in Joseph's newly dug grave in a rock face. The Sadducees and the Pharisees and the scribes congratulate themselves. They have rid the world of this revolutionary religious heretic. His popularity will soon wane, they believe, and they state in their own the secret musings. His plan is done. The hope of what he would bring is gone, and Pilate closes the archive of another trial and another time of problems in Palestine. There isn't any more hope for the leper in his tattered rags living in the wilderness and crying out unclean when anyone approaches. The blind will still have to grope in darkness and beg for their existence. The harlot will not know deliverance and be destined to cheapen herself in the sale of her body. The disciples have shut themselves behind locked doors in utter despair. He who thought to be the Messiah is gone. We thought he would deliver Israel, but he's gone, and the devil brings about and proclaims a festival in hell. We have won, echoes through the corridors of hell. The Creator is death. Now we are in control. Victory is ours. But hear me this morning, glory be to God. Out of this hurting despair comes a voice heard before. I am Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come. Blessed be his name. I am the Almighty, he says to his people this morning. He's your Almighty. He's my Almighty, hallelujah. And when things seem to not be going right, and my body aches, and my heart won't work right, and my brain doesn't seem to remember anything, he still sits on the throne, and he still is my Almighty this morning. Fear not, he says this morning. Fear, turn to somebody and say, fear not, hallelujah. I am the first, and I am the last, glory be to God. I am the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Glory be to God. The last enemy has been defeated. If the last one is defeated, that means all are defeated this morning. Hallelujah. There's not an enemy left standing that holds any power over you and over me, over my family, over your family, and over our community. He is the Almighty, and he reigns this morning. So it was with John on the Isle of Patmos. Rome had vanquished him there. They didn't want to deal with him, so they would vanquish anybody they didn't want to deal with. They would vanquish them to the Isle of Patmos under hard labor. That was the gravel pit of Rome. And this rocky crag yielded its stone. It would be crushed by the hammers and the mallets of those that had been condemned there. And on this rocky crag, above the Mediterranean Sea, above the screeches of the vultures that were feeding on the dead, above the cries of painful anguish of men at hard labor, humble John heard what was not audible. And he states in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet. I believe the message that John heard was this: Hallelujah! For the Lord God the Almighty reigns. Blessed be His name. Hallelujah! Oh, that we would be like John this morning. Holy Ghost of God, make us all Johns this morning. People like John that can shut out, hear me, the discord and the distressing noises that are closing our ears and close our ears to the doom and the gloom that the media prophesies, and learn to fellowship with God in the Spirit as John did. When things get bad, go back to the throne. When things aren't working well, go back to the throne. When the body hurts, return to the throne this morning. When the children rebel, I'll go to the throne. Hallelujah. For the Lord God Almighty reigns this morning. Our headlines are dark and foreboding. Nations are armed with myriads of weapons of mass destruction. The flood tides of immorality threaten to destroy not just our culture, not just our families, but every created gender, as even our politicians side with demons from hell to promote this filth. People fainting with fear, Luke 21:26, with foreboding of what is coming on the world. 2 Timothy 3:13, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. These are captivated by the media and the press. And it has even invaded with false doctrine and beliefs of demons into our churches. Our senses of values have been eroded. Even Christians find it difficult to dedicate 1 hour or 1 hour and a half to God a week in His house. Obedience to the guidelines of the Word of God is held in contempt and at least ignored. Anything now replaces God and His house in our priorities. We would rather take parts in things, hear me, of no eternal value. I will get up on the wall this morning, and I will be a sentinel, and I will proclaim, hallelujah, that we participate in things of no eternal value, while we hold less important those things which have nothing to do with our eternal destiny, leaving that which guarantees me a place in heaven to be undone. God have mercy on us. The lukewarm church's voice is muffled and even silent. With more resources and tools than ever in the history of mankind, we win less and less to the cross. But in the middle of all this stands God's remnant. Turn to somebody and say, you remnant? You remnant this morning? In the middle of all this stands God's remnant, who has decided to leave all, hear me, leave all, and put God first, number one, loving Him as we did at the beginning. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. Let's have a quest this morning. Let's have a quest. We're going to work hard at loving Him the same way He loves us. We're going to work hard at loving what is His the same way He loves what is ours. We have a command from God and a commission from Jesus. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. I charge you in the present, 2 Timothy 4, of God and of His Christ, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Hallelujah. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Are you hearing me? Will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, enduring suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Hallelujah. I will make sure that my conduct points people to Jesus. Are you hearing me? I will make sure that my words point people to Jesus. I remember when I took the church in Bucksport, Maine. The parsonage was over 100 years old. And the overflow of the septic tank, there was no leach field. It just flowed into a stream that ran behind the house. And it stunk real bad. And a neighbor moved in. Bob was his name. And he got up in the wee hours of the morning when I was asleep and stuffed rocks in the end of my pipe. And I didn't know a thing. We were grandfathered in. We would eventually have to fix it, but not now. And the 4th of July, I got up in the morning and I flushed the toilet. And I heard bloop, bloop, bloop coming from the basement. I opened the door to 6 inches of water and miscellaneous debris. It stunk bad. I said, oh dear God, help us. 4th of July, I had to be downtown. The whole downtown was cordoned off. And right in the middle was our coffee house where we were going to evangelize. This was a tool of the devil to keep me from proclaiming Jesus during the 4th of July celebration. I went out to that pipe and I dug out those stones. And I went to the town office and I got the snake that they loaned me. And I stood knee deep in drudge and miscellaneous mud and nice smelling ooze at the end of that pipe. And I shoved that thing up, and when that thing let go, it was a fountain, almost hit me in the face. And it flowed out, and I went in and cleaned up the basement. Went down on the 4th of July, and we had a great time. God bless. Many got saved. We just enjoyed ourselves. Went to bed that night tired, got up the next morning, and it's plugged again. So I go out and I unplug it, and then I said, well, Mr. Bob is going to get a piece of my mind, and I did not realize I had none to share. And I went over there and I knocked on his door, and when he came to the door, I unleashed on him in all the vernacular and the English language which I had been educated, not one bad word, but he knew when I got done that I was not a happy camper. I walked back across the lawn into my kitchen, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, now go tell him about Jesus. God have mercy. I said, I can't, Lord. Look what I've done. My point exactly, the Holy Ghost said. You turn around, you make it right. I said, I can't. He said, you turn around, you make it right. I said, I can't. He said, you turn around and you make it right. I said, I'm on my way. I walked over. He did not want to open the door. It was just a storm door because it was warm. I knocked and I called out through the storm door and the screen. I said, Bob, please, I really need to talk to you. I am so sorry. And he came and I couldn't help it. I even started crying. I looked like a little wimp there, standing, apologizing and crying. But when I returned to my kitchen, I felt good. 2 Sundays later, I am kneeling on the platform praying, and I get up and sitting in the back row is Mr. Woodry and his 2 sons. While we sing the worship of God, he comes to the altar and he bows down, and I go down and I say, what can I do for you? He says, I need Jesus. Glory be to God. Hear me this morning. I want you to know, I, with my conduct and my words, I must stand on the wall and I must proclaim salvation to a dying world. We are not called to be newscasters opining on the world's immorality, conditions, and events. We have been called to be sentinels calling people to repentance and building the kingdom. We are here to proclaim this morning, say it with me, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. What the world needs to hear this morning is God reigns, hallelujah. What the sick need to hear is that God reigns. What the bond, those in bondage need to hear, God reigns, hallelujah. He lives, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he's totally in control of everything. I'm here to announce with a force this morning that God is in charge. Yeah. Let us who know the joyful sound this morning, who have been quickened and energized by these life-giving promises, join the countless myriads of multitudes in a song of triumph in the heavenly realms this morning. Let us join the sound of the mighty thunderclap, sending a resounding note of victory to our nation and to the world. Hallelujah! The Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Blessed be his name. Listen, tell it to your fears. Tell it to your weakness, your timidity. Tell it to your sickness, your bodily ills, to all diagnoses and prognosis. Tell it to the devil, I'll remember to the day I die. Hallelujah. I was in Venezuela on a temporary border pass. And I'd gone by 3 checkpoints, and I was in boarding school, having taken the train from Cienega to Barrancabermeja, and then taken the bus. I had crossed the mountain range, and I was in school. 2 weeks after arriving, I couldn't get out of bed. The dorm parent came to my bed, and he said, "What is wrong with you?" He took one look at me and jumped back. He says, "We're going to the doctor." My skin was yellow. The whites of my eyes were yellow. I could not get up. I'd had diarrhea for 2 weeks. My urine had turned to blood. I was in bad shape. I'd gone from 130 pounds to 80 pounds. Took me to the doctor, 3 checkpoints on the way to the doctor. They took one look at me, the soldiers, and didn't ask for any documentation. I would have been in trouble if they had, but they just got away from the car. They didn't like what they saw. Got to the doctor. He took one look at me. He said, "I don't even need to stand you up the window to take an x-ray. I know that you're in bad shape. We're going to put you in the hospital." He felt my abdomen. My liver was 3 times what it should be. They took me to the hospital. They had, hear me, government health care in Venezuela at that time. I arrived at the hospital at 10 o'clock in the morning and got my bed at 6 o'clock at night. Those hours that I had sat there, for 10 hours, I sat on the floor in the hallway waiting for my room. Got into my room and the doctor came in just before midnight. And he looked at me and he said, "You are bad." I was in a ward with 4 other patients. There were 3 of them that had hepatitis on relapse. He said, "You're worse than the one that have it on relapse. We don't know. You are in bad shape." I said, "How long do I have to be there?" He was surrounded by a bunch of interns, most of them feminine, and they were good looking. Yeah, I might be sick, but I wasn't blind. And they were all standing listening to what he said. And I said, "How long do I have to be here?" He said, "This is Saturday night." He said, "You're going to be here for a minimum of 30 days. I said, "I want you to know I belong to Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I'm walking out of here in 7 days. They all started laughing. Those pretty girls laughed at me. Now I have no hope of winning one of them. They all laughed. They left my room. I turned my head to the wall and I said, "You're up. I have proclaimed the Lord God Almighty reigns. I have told the doctor that you reign. You're up. It's your turn." Every morning they came and sucked blood out of me those vampires. Every night they suck more blood out of me. This went on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. 7 days. Sunday, they came in. She took blood out of me. And she went, an hour later, came back, took more blood out of me. An hour later, came back. I said, you don't get any. I need some of that to live. She said, we have a problem down in the lab. The blood with your name on it shows no evidence that there ever has been the infection of hepatitis in your body. I said, suck it all out. You're not going to find anything. Glory be to God. Sheepishly. That doctor in his entourage of interns comes back into the room. He says, I don't know what happened, but something happened. And there's no sign. Your liver's the size it ought to be. It's as healthy as it can be. Your blood is as clean as it can be. I don't know what happened. I said, I do. Hallelujah. The Lord God, the Almighty, omnipotent reigns. Glory be to his name. And they had to stand there and listen to me exalt my Lord and tell them about Jesus. I wish I could tell you that they all fell down and got saved, but not a one of them did. You talk about funny. You should have seen the scene when the Baptist missionary came in and the doctor tells him it's a miracle, and he says, well, they don't exist anymore. And the doctor says, I don't know whether they exist or not, but he is healed. There's no hepatitis in his body. We have evidence that he was a very sick boy. And they argued. And I sat there and said, this is fun. That one that's supposed to know the omnipotent doesn't know him at all. Glory be to God. They came to an agreement. I would go back, and for the next 2 weeks, I would live in isolation. In the room reserved for evangelists. So Sunday afternoon, I'm headed back. 3 checkpoints, and they never checked my documentation. Had they checked it, I would have got kicked out of the country. I was in there illegally if I didn't get put in jail. They put me in that upper room. That was beautiful. That had a wonderful bed. I didn't share it with anybody, snotty-nosed kids. I had my own bathroom. They brought my food to me. I didn't even have to go down the stairs to the cafeteria. They changed my bed. I was a king. My brother came up to me when they weren't looking, because nobody was supposed to come in. He comes up to me when they weren't looking. He says, we got a soccer game, and the team is saying, you got to play. I was playing semi-pro soccer. They were giving me all of $10 a game. Can you believe it? I felt rich. And they say, you need to play. We can't win if you don't play. I said, well, if the dorm parent, Malcolm was his name, Uncle Malcolm leaves, you tell me, and I'll come down and play. And he left, I went down and played. My brother and I scored 3 goals, and we won, blessed be God, because hepatitis can't sit in a body of someone who knows the Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. Tell it to your fear. Tell it to your weakness. Tell it to your sickness. Tell it to the devil, the serpent of old. Tell him God reigns this morning and will shortly trample him under your feet and under the feet of God's triumphant church. We will stomp the devil. We're going to stomp hell out of the devil. We're going to stomp him. We have a chorus we sing in Columbia. It's similar to he's under my feet, but it's a lot better. It talks about stomping his head, and we stomp him. Glory be to God. Let me tell you this morning, the devil's a defeated foe. Hallelujah! The Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Blessed be God. The universal number 2 profession as to the power of Jesus, as to Jesus' power. Every act of Jesus was an act of power. Do you agree? Every act of Jesus was an act of power. Not only are his miracles a fact of history, but hear me this morning, they're also a fact of prophecy. Let me help you with it. When he attends the wedding in Cana, His mother informs him that they're out of wine. Jesus' response to her, let me read it, John chapter 2, 7 and 8. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. Then he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. By the time the water was being put in the jugs and drawn out and taken to the master of the feast, a miracle occurred. The water turned to wine. Now, at the risk of interpreting this miracle as a license for social drinking, let me suggest something to you, like I suggested last week. I haven't asked our overseer pastor, Brother Art Henderson, if I could say this. I haven't been cleared in any way, so I assume full responsibility for what I'm about to say. In you here in Rensselaer County, you can go home if you want a license for social drinking, fill a glass with water, and take it to your table, and if it's turned to wine by the time you get it to the table, drink it all. Amen? Boy, that was a poor amen. I cannot see Jesus, hear me, I cannot see Jesus who was so particular about yeast called leaven causing bread to rise. I can't see Jesus who kept the word of God knowing what Solomon had declared about fermented wine. I can't see him turning this water into a fermented beverage that would make someone drunk. It's 100% out of his biblical character. Now, look at the reaction of the master when he tastes the wine. It's obvious. I lived in California for 4 years. I went to some of the best wineries that exist. I blessed the harvest at Rodney Strong's winery, and they gave me a case of wine. I took it, one of the bottles, because I don't drink wine. I took one of the bottles to my boss, a doctor that I worked for, and he said, "I know what I pay you. You can't afford this. Where did you get this?" I didn't even bother to find out what it cost. But he said, "In most places, this is $80 a bottle." And I had 9 of them in a box. Leah cooked for over 2 years with some of the most expensive wine on planet Earth. I tasted it. It tastes worse than NyQuil. And occasionally I have to take NyQuil. They used to make fun of me when I worked in the gravel pit. "You want to get Pierre drunk? Just take the cork out of a wine bottle and pass it under his nose." I've tasted it, and it tastes nasty. Now, back then, listen, let me read it. "When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, 'Everyone serves the good wine first. And when the people have drunk freely," that means they've gotten drunk, "then the poor wine, because they don't know the difference. But you have kept the good wine until now." There was something about what Jesus made that was unique and different to all the feasts that he had ever been to. Now, this is prophetic, because as Jesus did in Cana, he's doing today. He's kept the best wine until last. Glory be to God. The best outpouring of the Holy Ghost to this end time harvest. What was considered in Topeka, Kansas, and Azusa Street, Los Angeles, to be a regional move of the Holy Ghost outpouring has become a worldwide explosion of power and harvest. Glory be to God. All over the world, regardless of the name over the door, churches are experiencing conversion and discipleship. And these churches are mostly Pentecostal, where they talk in tongues and they dance in the Holy Ghost. And the gifts of the Spirit Spirit are in evidence. 120 Pentecostal fanatics have become millions and millions of worldwide evangelists this morning. What was largely once only confined to Pentecostal churches and Pentecostal groups and organizations has leaped over denominational boundaries this morning, and it has become a great move of God. From a prayer meeting in Seoul, Korea, has grown a church of over 1 million members. Even the Vatican could not stop the move of the Holy Ghost called the Charismatic Movement. And back several years ago in the 70s, it could not stop it, because God is spirit and God is truth, and God has determined to move. Hallelujah. They said it would blow over. That's what they said. They said it would blow over. Let me tell you, it has blown all over the world. Glory be to God. The story is told of an Indian boy. He's standing at a railroad station, right on the tracks, at the turn of the century, when the engines were steam engines, massive cast iron hulks of machinery. I love them. You compare that to what hauls Amtrak down to New York City, and that looks like an effeminate architect designed it. These are He-Man machines. How many know what I'm talking about? He-Man machines. I talked to a hobby store, and I asked them about the trains they were selling, HO and other scales that they were selling. I said, "You've got one that's a modern Amtrak engine there. Do you sell very many of those?" He says, "No, that's been on the shelf for over 3 years." I says, "How about those over there?" And I pointed to a steam engine. "We can't keep those in stock." And this Indian boy stands there. He's seeing this black steam engine for the first time in his life. Just a little plume of steam wafts out of the steam stacks, and he's watching it. And he states, as he looks down and sees all those cars that are attached to that engine, and he says this: "It will never start, it will never run. It will never start, and it will never run." Then, as smoke begins to billow from the huge stacks, as steam makes its way down to the pistons and the gears begin to groan as they turn and the conductor yells, "All aboard!" It began to depart the station. Choo, choo, choo. And he steps back and exclaims, "It will never stop! It will never stop!" God has spoken something into our world. Hear me, it will never stop. It will never stop. It will take a dull, dead church and endue her with life-giving power and vigor. It will take weak Christians and make them strong. It will take the sad and fill them with joy unspeakable and full of glory. It will take the doubting and make them instruments of stalwart faith. It will take the commonplace and make it something spectacular. Why? Because he has kept the best till last. Glory be to God. He said to Nicodemus in John 3:8, "The wind blows where it lists and where it wishes, and you hear the sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with anyone who is born of the Spirit." He's talking about the sovereignty of the Holy Ghost. The wind of God doesn't stop at the borders of Iran, at the borders of Iraq this morning. They can launch all kinds of missiles, but the wind of the Holy Ghost won't be stopped by their missiles and their border. It's not going to stop by the borders of Cuba and North Korea, China, or Russia. It doesn't request permission. Putin, may I come in? Che, may I enter? Ayatollah, may I pass through? Do I have permission to blow this morning? He didn't ask the Vatican. He didn't ask the Greek Orthodox. He doesn't ask the Baptist. He doesn't ask the Presbyterian or the Episcopalian or even the Methodist or even the Assemblies of God. Hallelujah. He says, "I'm going to begin to blow, and I'll still blow forever in power and in glory." May it blow on us here at New Life Assembly. Holy Ghost of God, blow on me. Blow on us in ever-ascending power this morning. In Jesus' name, let it blow until the crescendo praise and shout match the majesty and the magnitude of the sound of heaven. Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Oh, this morning, Ezekiel's wind blow on us again until all dead bones become life. Let the magnificent display of your power, when you touched the poor leper and made him whole, blow again in this place. Can you imagine with me this morning the unimaginable ecstasy and rejoicing when unannounced this leper, after having gone to the high priest and been declared clean according to the law, walks through the city not having to say unclean, unclean, looks at his skin as he walks. I can't believe it. There's not a sign of leprosy. And then he opens the door and walks into an unannounced into the home of his wife and family and begins to take his children into his arm and his wife. Hallelujah! What he could not do for years, he can now do because the wind of God had blown through under the power of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. You see, I see hope for the moral culture and the political leprosy that has stained our nation. Homes and marriages that need healing. Hurting, sin-warped minds that need healing. Grieving hearts that need encouraging. Drug-addicted, bound human beings in sin-addicted lives that need deliverance and healing this morning. Hear me. You name it this morning, anything that you know causes hurt and damage and destruction in our families, our culture, our society, or even in your own life, listen to me. I want you to pronounce in the face of that thing, name it, and say hallelujah, for the Lord God, God the Almighty, reigns this morning. Jesus gets into a boat. We talked about it last week. For a boat ride, the sea is calm. Jesus is worried. He makes his way to the stern of the boat and he lays down for much needed rest and shortly is snoring away. A great storm comes up. You know how I know it was great? Because it caused the disciples who had grown up on this lake, the disciples who had made their living from these waters, to fear for their very lives. Mark 4:38, he was in the stern asleep on a cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" They believed they were dying. That's how big the storm was. Jesus wakes up, stands up. "Now why'd you wake me up? Look, that? That's nothing. Watch this. Peace, be still." And it becomes a sea of glass. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. Hallelujah. He awoke, he rebuked the wind, said to the sea, "Peace, be still." The wind ceased and there was great calm. Listen, I can hear the cry cascading down from the hills of Golan, winging its way across the deserts of Arabia this morning, in the face of missiles, in the face of fighting. Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Listen, over nature he reigns. This scene is repeated millions of times in the storms of life that pursue the children of God. Are you hearing me this morning? Days of joy ending up in nights of terror. Homes and families once glad and secure torn apart by the vicious scourge of immorality and infidelity. Storms of sickness and death. Storms of rebellion and separation, the loss of home and employment, the uncountable sorrows and tragedies generated by the fall of mankind. But there is not a storm, hear me, There's not a one. There's not a storm that God Almighty cannot penetrate. And I emphasize this morning, there will never be a storm that He's not first of all aware of, and secondly does not have the solution to. Glory be to God. Because I can stand on this promise this morning, and I can shout at the top of my voice, hallelujah! For the Lord God, the Almighty, reigns. Blessed be His name. If we recognize His power and His presence, hear me. If we recognize His power and His presence, He will come this morning and speak peace to our storms. Walk with me to Bethany. I love this story. Lazarus is sick, but Jesus isn't on time. Someone said, Pastor, you were late in getting to church this morning. Yeah, just like Jesus in Bethany. I was late. And John tells us that as he approaches the grave where they've laid him, he weeps in verse 35 of John 11. He weeps for a friend, but more than a friend. Because in Lazarus, Jesus sees the entire world. Are you hearing me? Prophetic. Jesus saw the triumph of Satan in bringing man to his downfall. Paul describes it like this in the 5th chapter. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all have sinned. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the trespass. Glory be to God. It's not like the result of one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation. But the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. Hallelujah. For if because of one man's trespass death reigned through one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace, you and I, and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through one man, Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. See, Jesus saw as he stood there every funeral. He saw every bereaved home. He saw every tear. He saw every heartache. He saw every single moment of loneliness. Hear me this morning. Then, with a voice of mighty command, when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. What happened that day in Bethany is going to happen in every cemetery, in every resting place of every child of God, waiting for the trumpet call of God. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven. Hallelujah. With a cry of command and with the voice of the archangel, with the sound of the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Wherefore, encourage one another with these words. You see, he's going to throw off the machinery of death. He's going to throw it into reverse. There won't be any grinding of gears. It's going to go in flawlessly. And the grave that was once demanding and only taking will all of a sudden be subject to giving. Glory be to God. And every grave is going to shout, hallelujah! The Lord God, the Almighty, reigns. Blessed be His name. See, we have a blessed hope. Jesus is coming. It's a blessed hope. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions. That's the key. And to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, waiting for our blessed hope. The appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. We have a living hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. I love the word of God to be a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for you who by God's power are being guarded through faith. Hallelujah. For the salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We have a purifying hope. For everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. We have an encouraging and a comforting hope this morning. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. I'm looking for a transportation, not a tribulation. Are you hearing me? I will not quarrel with those who want to go through the tribulation period or any part of it. I don't care. I just repeat the words of Jesus to them. According to your faith, be it done to you. That's what Jesus said to the leper. And that's what I say to those who want to go through part of it. According to your faith, be it done to you. But as for me, I'm catching the first sound pointing towards heaven. I've made my reservation, my ticket, and I'm going to leave this world shouting, hallelujah! The Lord God, the Almighty reigns. Hallelujah. And then it's the ultimate praise, and I got to hurry. I'm sorry. Give me 5 minutes. Can I have 5 minutes? Thank you. I might take 10 since you're so generous. The ultimate praise as to Jesus' person. It is nothing short of a shameful tragedy that more and more Jesus is relegated to obscurity. His birthday has little to do with his deity. It has more to do with celebration, commercialization, Santa Claus, nothing that's praiseworthy. My children learned that Santa Claus didn't exist. I'm not giving my glory to anybody. Are you kidding me? Santa Claus brought that gift? No, he didn't. I did. And they knew I did. From the time they were born. I will not lie to my children. Are you hearing me? We would get up in the morning. They didn't open their gifts first thing. They read the Word of God and prayed. That's what we did first. That's what we did first. His resurrection is observed with bunnies, eggs, and parades. He's not welcome in our schools, our municipalities, or our government. The average home puts everything ahead and above him. Listen to what Jesus said of his church in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. This verse is to the church. This is not to the world. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He was on the outside. He wasn't inside. Beware that he's on the outside of your home. I put him on the outside of my home when he's not first. Because he's a gentleman, and if I allow anything in idolatry to replace him in my life, my conduct, my thoughts, and my home, he steps out and waits for me to open the door and let him in. Boy, it got all of a sudden quiet. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice. Can you hear it this morning? There's tears running down his face. I sacrificed my life on Calvary for you. And now you have me on the outside looking in. I will come in to him. I love this. Eat with him and he with me. There's hope this morning. I can open the door. In repentance, I can bow my knee one more time before the cross. And along with the church at Ephesus, I can get back, recover, go back and rediscover my first love this morning. Listen, the order of things is going to change quickly. It's going to change quickly. The baby of Bethlehem will become the Lord of Lords. The Lamb of Israel will become the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The man on the cross will become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In fact, he already is Lord of Lords. He already is Lion of the tribe of Judah. He already is the King of Kings. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Father, as the King of Kings, he ascends to the throne. It is his sovereign right this morning. The Lord God, our God, the Almighty, reigns. He picks up the reins of world governance. Nations will surrender to him, like it or not. He will be proclaimed Lord of Lords. All the keys have already been turned over to him. His rule will be total. And it will be absolute. That's the scary thought. That's the scary thought for those that reject his message. His rule will be total and absolute. Regardless of political philosophy, none of that will matter. He will impose his will. It won't be a will imposed in grace and mercy. It will be a will imposed in judgment and justice. All will bow. They denied him, but they will bow. On that day of triumph, listen, then I looked, and I'm closing, and I heard around the throne the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy. Can you say it with me? Worthy is the Lamb. Say it again. Worthy is the Lamb. Point towards heaven and say, worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven. Hear me. Look at this verse. I heard every creature in heaven and on earth, every groundhog, every snake. Are you hearing me? That's what it says. Every eagle, every vulture, every great white shark, every electric eel. Are you hearing me? Every lobster. They are saying under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them, saying to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing, honor, glory, and might forever and ever. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet. There were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world, hallelujah, have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty. There it is again. Lord, say it with me. Lord God Almighty, who is, who was. For you have taken your great power and you have begun to reign. Blessed be God. The nations rage, for their wrath is, your wrath is come, and the time for the dead to be judged, for rewarding your servants, the prophets and the saints, those who fear your name, both great and small, small and great, and for destroying the destroyers of the earth. His flag is going to fly from every capital palace. His flag is going to fly from every center of government. Zechariah 14:9, the Lord will be king over all the earth. On that day, the Lord will be one and his name one. Hallelujah. Can you stand with me this morning and say it, hallelujah? For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Glory be to God. Can you lift a hand to heaven? Say it with me, hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Say it again, hallelujah! For the Lord, the Almighty, our God, reigns this morning. Blessed be his name. We honor you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. We bless your name this morning. I turn and run to the cross. I run to the cross this morning. I cast myself before the cross on your mercy and grace. And I say, God, forgive me. Wash me afresh in your blood. I have disobeyed your word. I have ignored your guidelines. My conduct has not been what it should be. Say nothing about my words, and I need the blood of Jesus to flood my life one more time. Blood flow through our homes this morning. Every home here, let a cascading gully washing move of the blood and the Holy Ghost of God come flow off the throne and invade every home represented here. Wash out the rebellion, wash out the sin, wash out the lethargy and the lukewarmness. God, we dedicate ourselves to you this morning. We dedicate ourselves to you this morning. We climb up on the altar and we say, Lord, kill our flesh this morning. Say it with me, kill our flesh this morning, Lord. Kill our flesh this morning, Lord. And make us more like Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But most of all, give us somebody this week that we can lead to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Put a sentinel beside us to guard our mouth and to guard our conduct, that everything we do will point those who we meet to Jesus Christ and to his cross. And for this we will thank you. And all God's people said,
amen,
amen and amen. Amen and amen. Amen, amen. Sorry for keeping you so long. Amen.
We're worried about the time we